Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I've got an erection.
What's up, folks? It's a Catfish edition of Hitting the High Notes. Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. I am here. It is I, the voice that you hear and presume that is real. It is that Hootran Superman. That's H-U-U-T-R-N Superman. Or, you know, follow the podcast account, which is my second Twitter account. I am admitting that right now. At Jazz High Notes. Number two. That's at Jazz High Notes number two. That one almost got suspended today, so that was fun. And we are here now, and of course he goes at his 49s. You probably have seen him in real life. It is Jared Barker.
Hey, how's it going, who?
Yeah, you know, just hanging out. We recorded last week. Like we had taken like breaks, and now it feels like we have so much news to go through. But before we get to the news, let's go to he's at 208 Logan. What's up, Dragon?
Banned. B-A-N-N-E-D. Who is banned?
Banned.
That's for very niche. That's a very niche TikTok reference for those who know. And for those who don't, I God bless you.
Logan will send me TikTok. The thing is that like I log into TikTok maybe once a week and I watch the TikToks that my friends send me with her. But then it's very rare that I get on TikTok just by myself at my house. Like I'll watch the Instagram reels and stuff, which is like TikTok, but like 3 weeks later. And so I'm like, oh my God, I have like 20 TikToks from Logan, and they're very specific to our humor. So I enjoy it. So
yeah, usually very inappropriate. Chris Benoit references.
He pops up in our life a lot.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and sources. Get the latest odds and lines and the latest matchup reports for this year's NBA playoffs. I feel like that. BetOnline is your sports intel headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your insider sports wagering needs, from basketball, MLB, NHL, hockey, golf, to UFC and boxing. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your home. Get in the action today. So head to the website or use your mobile device to join, and be sure to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I really hope that the BetOnline people appreciate your enthusiastic read of their ad.
Whatever.
Okay, so
thanks
we...
Long fucking ad.
It's pretty long.
It's a long fucking read.
You know, we talked about we have a lot of news to get to, because I mean, the Jazz, since we recorded last, the Jazz have actually drafted. The Jazz made a trade that we tried to make the trade, you know, a couple years ago. But really, first thing I want to start off, Dragon Squatch, I think you called it. The Catfishes are out on Twitter. Some guy that I remember jokingly bringing up on this podcast, maybe, you know, sometime, what, mid-May, mid-March, or end of March, I don't know, whenever the first Jamie Froteen thing came down, I know we made jokes about it, and another Jazz Twitter member outed by, you're married to a fucking CSI, or you're going to be married to a fucking CSI, I should say. Logan, how's that feel?
Yeah, I mean, this one was the one she actually did work on. All she had to do with, truth be told, with Jamie Froteen, all she did was release the information that Arn and the rest of them stumbled upon. So, but she did blast it out there.
Yep.
I don't know what it was. I didn't think that he was a real individual. And honestly, just it was the Jamie Froteen thing that got the whole thing started, because I never even thought, it never even crossed my mind, right? I just assumed that people were there and that they were fake. It was just, well, I don't know, it's something I never thought about. But as soon as that happened, it just made me look at things a lot more skeptically. And this, and the Corey individual was like, I thought he was someone's boyfriend from Twitter. And then that's why I followed him back. And then I realized quickly that he wasn't. And it is this weird, bizarre rise to popularity. And I don't know the most tactful way to say some of these things, but he checked a bunch of generic boxes for white Utah, is I guess the nicest way to say that. And people thought he was cool, but it just never seemed real. It just seemed fake, and I think the, as we've joked about many times, the Maserati Escalade pole was the one that put everyone over the top. But the only disappointing part is we'll never know for sure who it was because they disappeared.
They disappeared. They got out before they can get
out. I don't
outed.
Know. That, I mean, we got some pretty strong theories, but I don't. Again, you're never going to get someone to admit to that. So
yeah, like I mean, it's one of the things that like he got out. Like I'm 95% sure. Like when we started joking about it, I was like 5% sure, but like we kept joking about it. I kept seeing his posts, and like there were times I'm like, "Oh, this is a kind of a fun question that this guy's posed," but I just wouldn't. I didn't want to get myself. So I mean, I followed him. Like you know, I'm trying to be part of the follow back crowd. Like you follow me, I'll follow you back. You know, and I was just like, you know, I see people like comment on stuff, and I'm just like, "Are you real?" And you mentioned it. Like I'm a so you know my friend Sam. We work here, and you know Sam that you heard last week. He's like, hey, what's this stuff going on? Because there's more stuff going down. And I'm sitting there to explain, like, kind of doing that Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like, conspiracy board.
Pepe Silva.
Yeah. And so just, like, trying to connect us. I'm like, well, you know, this happened this month. And then now this guy was exposed. You know, we were, you know, like, DJ Honeypaws reverse image searched this stuff. And this is this there. And so it's just, like, this, like, whole thing. And I told Sam the same thing that Logan just said. I said, Sam, like, maybe I'm just too trusting. Like, you tell me you're somebody on Twitter. I'm like, okay, I'll believe it. Like, I have no reason not to believe you. And now we're all kind of like Jazz Twitter is shook, right? Jazz Twitter is like we're all making jokes, like, hey guys, you know, who see me? But now we're all like, I think we're all being a little more distrusting now. Like, if people, someone shows up on Twitter, and I don't know, maybe that's the better way to live, you know, because it's the internet.
Some of you are real.
Yeah, like if I'm sexting somebody, I don't want that to get out in the world, you know. So like, I don't want to be sexting some dude pretending to be somebody. So, but Jared, so these are two big reveals. Any thoughts on the reveals here?
I mean, it just blows my mind that people would spend so much time crafting a digital persona of a person that doesn't really exist.
Right.
Like it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't think I'll ever understand it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like I need to take a class in abnormal psychology to
like 801 Corey, I get it. I don't want to be me either. Like, I mean, being me sucks. 80% of the time I have gout, you know? And so, I get it, but like, do I want to be some guy, like, as Logan, we were talking about, he chose, what'd you say? The tool persona. Like, it's unlikable. Like,
yeah, it's definitely a tool. I mean, yeah. He's checking out those boxes, at least from what I interpret it to be a tool. But
right, like,
a lot of people are down with that. So that part's fine. Ultimately, to go back to your original point, it doesn't really matter, I guess. It wasn't as though anyone was doing any harm specifically. Jamie Froching was doing harm because he was trying to speak out as an advocate for discriminating against group. That's a problem.
Yeah. So
I mean, this one ultimately doesn't matter. And I have seen some of the other backlash has been, you know, was it, you know, just stop making fun of them. You shouldn't be making fun of them, or you should be feeling bad. There's probably someone who's really hurting behind all that. I mean, it's none of it's that deep. Like, I don't think that whoever was behind the Corey one specifically was someone just looking to,
yeah.
I don't know.
They were in it to get their jollies. I mean, you could tell.
I don't think it's that deep. Yeah. Now, if it wasn't a black man, which I don't think it was, that is, you know, a little bit problematic. Yeah. I don't know the level of problematic because it wasn't necessarily advocating and trying to be a social advocate. It's hard. I don't know what
digital blackface is. A very weird, like, you know, like, I think we've come to accept that. I mean, I don't know, because I know people who have like, not know them personally, but known somebody like through acquaintances that had done blackface at Halloween or something, right? They, you know, they went as Kim and Kanye, and they just thought it was harmless fun. And I was like, no, that's you know, like, we should be 2023 knowing that's not,
yeah,
that's not right.
That's definitely bad. So I don't know. I guess maybe it does fall in that category. I'm not smart enough yet to know if you pretend to be black online is the same equivalent of painting your face black for Halloween.
I mean,
it's
something that's...
If it is bad, then good. Even if it is that bad, then even better. Good reason gone.
But yeah, so that's so just exciting times for Jazz Twitter right now. That's the talk of the town. And right now, like we're doing, you know, multiple shows in June. Remember how boring last year was? Like, the Jazz didn't have a draft pick. You know, that happens. The Jazz also didn't do very much in the offseason.
We haven't even hit free agency. Free agency is going to hit Friday. We're recording on a Wednesday. So we're a couple days away from free agency hitting. So we're still going to have more thoughts coming up next week. Jared, you were there. You were at the draft party hosted by Ryan Smith, the big weirdo. Maybe Ryan Smith is 8-0 on Corey, trying to keep track of Jazz fans. Who knows? I wouldn't put it past him. But you were there at the draft party.
It's Donovan Mitchell.
That was the craziest theory I saw so far. They're like, it's Donovan Mitchell taking the pulse of the Jazz fandom. I'm like, that guy is like the biggest Donovan Mitchell hater on Twitter. Donovan was like, well, that's how he was just
describing. That's the perfect cover, Jared.
Disguising himself.
Right. Like, if you guys ever find a Twitter account that really hates me, that's my burner. As we've learned, most people on Twitter, they nothing me. So that's actually a great cover. So that's still a good story. But yeah, you were there. The Jazz draft Taylor Hendricks at 9, Keontae George at 16, and Bryce
Sensabaugh. So they're not going to be good.
What happened?
They're not going to be good.
They didn't boo?
People cheered.
Yeah, people cheered. They didn't get booed. Logan, you're
not... Booing makes them good.
you're not a draft guy, but, obviously after the Jazz drafted, you get to, do a little more research on the players. How do you feel about the Jazz? How did you feel about the Jazz coming out of the draft?
A plus.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, the funny part was that as you see these guys going off the board, like, you've seen their names around 1,000 times on Twitter, and you're not sure if it was good or bad. I will say it did work in this regard. Seeing so much about the draft got me excited to watch it, not knowing what I was getting into. But I think the only comment is the Will Duck comment is like, was it Cam Whitmore slipping so far seemed kind of bizarre. I guess that's, to be determined as to if that was a mistake or not. I don't know. But the first guy they got is just going to make the team even more longer and more athletic. So
yeah, and surprised they kept all three though, it sounds like they were
trying to move around and no one would take it. It's kind of like the Warriors a few years ago when they drafted like Moody and Kuminga. Mm-hmm. Right, they wanted to move some picks but no one wanted them. Yep. So
yeah, like it's interesting that it's hard, like trying to make those deals on draft night because you have to be able to move salary at the same time. Like that's why. Like, because come July 1st, all of a sudden, a bunch of teams have cap space opened up. And so, like, now, I can take Derek Favors in a first-round pick. But, a couple weeks ago, I couldn't. So, it's very – the NBA calendar is still a little weird. But it works for them, and it gives them the summer. So, they don't have a reason to change it right now. So the Jazz, they got long, they're strong. They can get the friction on. Hendricks. It is funny because, Cam Whitmore was a big name until the very. But every this is Logan again. Smokescreen. Well, I guess apparently it was not a smokescreen when Cam Whitmore falls to 20, and people are mad. And like it was really funny to watch Jazz Twitter on draft day, just see like how many people really love the draft. How many people really like, there was really not much in the middle. You either really liked the draft or you really hated it. There was not very very indifference in there, which I thought was kind of funny. But the Jazz kind of did what they did. I have no opinion because it was really gonna be hard for me to be disappointed in the draft because everybody kind of after the Thompson twins were kind of the same. Like there was a top five. Those feel to be like okay, these guys you feel. That they're going to be good. Two of those five are probably not going to be good. And then after that, it's a crapshoot. Throw a dart, and then those guys are going to hit. Two or three of those guys are going to hit, and everybody else will just be, they'll be fine. They'll be starters. They'll be bench players, but they won't be super mega stars. So that's just kind of how the draft goes. Jared, are you excited about the Jazz after the draft?
Well, I think what I like about the draft is that the Jazz seem like they've got a lot of length and athleticism, and that's something the team felt like has been lacking for a while. So, we've got some nice guys that should turn into good defensive players, and we've been sorely lacking in that for a while. So, I think it'll be a good change of pace. It'll be, you're going to get to see these guys develop, see if they pan out. Should be interesting to see, how much better the team is next year. If it's better, if it's the same, you know, similar. I feel like we don't have a lot of guard play. It's a lot of ball handlers, which could pose a little bit of a problem. But
Just speaking on the draft, like they had their press conference the next day. Justin Zanuck was like, "Oh yeah, we're happy. Like we had Taylor as number 9 on our board." Which, I mean, to me, I hear that, I'm like, "Oh, so you got the very last person you wanted at that spot?"
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, "Okay, so you got 9 of 9." Okay.
Yeah, we heard they tried to move up for the Detroit pick, and people were like, "Oh yeah, I'm glad they didn't give up too much." And I was like, "I mean, but if you're a scout or if you think Thompson twin is going to be much better than Hendricks, I mean, they probably could have gave a little more. Obviously there is a right price, but what was reportedly offered didn't seem like it was that much. So I don't know, but because that's the problem. Is like it's NBA draft. Like, I mean, you know, we all do these tiers, but you know, if you really have a good feeling on a player, you're gonna miss out on Steph Curry and get Ricky Rubio. So, you know, nothing wrong with Ricky Rubio. He's a fine player. He's not Steph Curry. And so, you know, hopefully the Jazz, you know, find that miracle Giannis hit at number 9 or 16 or 20, 28 there.
I think it's safe to say they didn't feel that way, though. I mean, I think if they did, they would have done something. I mean, like you said, they did put the Steelers out of 5, but mm-hmm. I mean, what they offered seemed fine, but I don't – yeah, I mean, I think if they felt like it was really worth it, they would
have done more.
They didn't do anything stupid. They didn't do something that's boring, like trade back and trade for next future mm-hmm. assets and things like that. They actually picked the guys. And yeah. What's interesting about the Jazz is we try to always compare what's going on with other places. You know, when the Sixers did this and blew it up, and Oklahoma's been doing it, like, they had entire rosters of nobody on there. There was no one on there, so they could just keep drafting 3 or 4 people a year. But you already see now, from the Jazz perspective, this is just 1 year in, and it's already, like, it seems like there's a lot of roster spots already taken just by these 3 guys alone. So mm-hmm. it will be interesting, I guess, in future years, and they have 2 or 3 picks each, how they balance that out. Because if they are back to being competitive, you don't have room to add 2 or 3 rookies every year, you know.
And that's the other part that worried me, was that they didn't think either the Thompson twins or anybody else was really worth moving up for or giving us assets for, then like it's like, oh boy, are we just gonna get a whole bunch of blah in like the 3 through 20 range? Like all of them are just gonna be kind of the same. Maybe 1 or 2 hit, and then you're just kind of hoping that you got lucky and hit the right one. Because that's why, I mean, and that happens in a lot of drafts. I think we all kind of agree that we think Victor seems to be the most made for the NBA. And then, you know, who knows? Maybe, like, maybe Scoot's not big enough, or the Thompson twins, their flaws never get fixed. And then, you know, we end up going, this was a really good draft, and ended up being just an okay draft with maybe 1 or 2 guys, and as opposed to 4 or 5 guys, and that's fine. You just have to, again, I mean, the Jazz drafting at 9, you have to get lucky. It's not like oh boy, we got the guy we really wanted because we knew that 8 teams were going to pass on him. So
it feels fine this year to do it, especially considering next year we may not have a draft pick, right? So I guess you got to factor that in. But I guess just like it just will be interesting to see going forward, because we're really patting ourselves on the back for being stockpiled with all these multiple picks in 25, 27, 29, right? So, it'll just be interesting, because you would hope and think the team would be better and competitive. So it doesn't seem like an issue this year. They got room for all these guys, I think. But I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yep. So, but I mean,
it looks like if the Jazz have their way, they won't be getting their pick next year anyway. So
yeah, I think
it doesn't appear as though they're
right. Tanking, who knows? The draft has. You can already tell that Jazz Twitter is more alive and vibrant than it has in 2 years. Right. That Rudy Donovan team really was toxic, not just to the team but to the fan base as well. And so like I think we're all healing from that. So I think you can just tell. You can definitely tell that we're all doing a real good job there. So.
Is that because of the catfish? Sure.
No. I think really, just a couple years ago, it was just a hard time to be a Jazz fan. You know, you put all your eggs into that Bojan, Mike, Donovan, Rudy basket, and then you have to turn around really quickly. And like, it sucks trading away players that you like, players that you think are very good, and getting back, you know, unknowns and draft picks that won't convey for a few years. And so, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And but like this offseason, like I can tell people they're talking about the Jazz more. They're excited. They want to see it. Even last year, like they're like, okay, well, you know, we got some rookies and we'll see. And then all of a sudden that team really healed them, Jazz Twitter. Jazz Twitter is still kind of a crap place to be. I think who tweeted that? Like, why would you? Oh, I think it was Anthemax. She was like, why would you make a fake persona and then get into Jazz Twitter? Like of all the places to try to get into. So very, very weird move on their part. So, but speaking of being prophetic, guys, if I'm not lazy, I'll try to go back, to 2 years ago, find the, I want to say Adam Bushman was our guest, trade deadline.
Yeah. I was going to reference that. Yeah.
John Collins, Utah's own John Collins coming back. He's coming home.
Leighton Bourne.
As Logan just said, in the break here, 3 years on the trade block. Utah's own, born in Leighton. John Collins, now a Jazz.
Can't even say born and raised, just simply born.
Just born, yeah.
Only born and whisked away.
Born. Like, I don't know. I don't know when he probably moved when he was like one. So, he's the Chrissy Teigen of NBA players for the Jazz. So,
She was just born in Delta and then whisked away.
I have no clue. I just, these are all my headcanon. I assume that she didn't spend very much time in Delta, Utah.
He's the Katherine Heigl of.
I think Katherine Heigl lives in Utah, actually. I think she lives in Park City.
Yeah,
so.
I know, but she's like from here too.
Yeah, so. So John Collins, we were 2 years ago, man, we would have been jumping for joy, I think, to get this player. Jared, 2 years later, what happened?
I guess the Hawks were finally like, oh crap, we're gonna have to pay all this money in luxury tax, and okay, Danny Ainge, we'll take your second round pick. It's funny, we sent Rudy Gay back to Quinn. Yeah, that's gonna be a joyful reunion.
I love that. Sure. Yeah. But as Logan says, Quinn has all the he makes all the decisions. He has the personnel power, so. He's the one that accepted Rudy Gay back. I mean, Logan, I mean, we're sitting here talking about John Collins 20 minutes into a podcast. We waited until after a catfish and after the draft picks. The level of excitement has gone down. There's still some people who are excited. Where are you on this issue?
It's the only thing I want to talk about. Is John Collins. I wanted him last year too. I think he's always been on my radar as someone I look forward to and would like to see in a Jazz uniform. So it is interesting to watch the way it all shifted. Like, everyone was quick to say that Danny fleeced them again, which he appears to have fleeced them because he basically got them for nothing. But it was funny because last year most of our Twitter machines and Twitter GMs were telling us Atlanta should have to give us a first round pick for compensation on taking on that contract. So it is interesting to watch how the pendulum shifts a little bit. But I don't know. He's still extremely young. You don't have to spend the money. Who maybe you do, maybe you don't. We still don't know if you have to spend the money. I guess the rules have changed. But I don't know. He's a long, athletic guy, and I think that I read somewhere too that he hurt his finger for a good chunk of last year as well, and with those. Maybe that's why the shooting numbers dropped. And I also don't, you hope to capture that Lauri Markkanen in a bottle excitement and luck again. But I don't know, getting away from Trae Young, I think, will benefit him. I guess get away from the confusion and the toxicity of Atlanta. I feel like he's on the block for forever. There's a lot of guys that did similar things, but no one really knew what they were doing. But you're right. What I read was ownership just said, basically said, this team is not fucking good enough. Get me out of the luxury tax.
Yep. I mean, we talked about it. We talked about the Jazz. Like,
yeah, they just said, which is weird because like they didn't have anyone that great on their team. But
yeah, so
I mean, unloaded Herter a couple years ago, or this last a year ago, year and a half ago.
You, last offseason because that's how the Kings got him, right? So
yeah,
I mean,
who are they paying?
Trey.
Does everybody just have like $25 million contract?
Trey Bogdanovich. Capella. Yeah, so Jesus. Yeah, like you're right. And so, yeah, so, like, I mean, so obviously the Jazz, because, like, yeah, we talked about a lot, like, hey, you know, maybe the Jazz, because it went from, you know, 2 years ago, like, hey, if we give up Bogey, maybe they want Bogey.
Oh, Hunter, DeAndre Hunter, too.
Yeah. Right. If we gave up Bogey, if the Jazz gave up Bogdanovich for Collins, I thought that could have been a good swap at that point. Like, I'm upset because I thought Collins could have fit with that Rudy Donovan team a little bit better than Bogey was. Bogey did. And that would have probably, I don't know, maybe that would have been better for both teams. I don't know. And then all of a sudden it became, okay, the Hawks got into that spot you don't want to be. They got into the spot of, like, hey, we're not good enough to win a championship, not bad enough to miss the playoffs. They started, you know, and they're paying the luxury tax, you know, and they had to dump salary the Jazz had. And this comes from the Mike Conley trade. So, you know,
that
Mike
is super. I just can't get over that's fascinating. I mean, they were in salary cap trouble. Like, what the fuck?
It happens. Like, I mean, once you start,
yeah, that's weird.
They've got the Jonte Murray.
It's like when you get that tax return. Like, oh my god, this is cool. This is extra money. Right. The next thing you know, it's gone. Like 3 days later, and you just went to Walmart and Applebee's like twice. Like, how the fuck did that happen?
And like,
Trae Young's making $40 million next year.
Yeah,
it's like, just one guy though. I mean, that makes sense. But I mean, the other teams are in hell. It makes sense, you know.
Well, yeah. They've got a bunch of other guys making like $20 million each. Capella.
That's what I'm saying. They all must make
$25 million. Bogdan Bogdanovich.
yeah, and that and that, that's Murray, the problem. Like,
DeAndre Hunter.
I forgot about DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
That's right.
DeJounte Murray.
I guess there's one other.
Yeah.
NBA. Max or borderline max.
The problem is that they gave the money to John Collins. Also, you know, John Collins, 27-ish million, I assume. And at the time when they gave it to him, it made sense. Like, he looked like he could be the next, like, that the salary cap is very weird that way. Like, you have to be very careful. Like, if you make a bet on John Collins, on Andre Kirilenko, on whoever, you know, if you start giving, like Lauri Markkanen, great right now, just amazing, $17 million. Okay, but would you want to pay him $35 million? You're like, yeah, of course, he's the best player, he's an all-star, cool. But, you know, then all of a sudden you're in the Domantas Sabonis range. I these are two guys that I always compare him to, because Sabonis and Randall, very good players. You don't want to pay those guys $35 million, but you have to. That's just the way the NBA, like, the way the NBA is like, you know, hey, Lauri Markkanen, we like you a lot, we think you're worth $25 million. And Lauri Markkanen looks at his peers, looks at Domantas, looks at Julius Randle, sees himself in that same class, and says, "No, I want $35 million." And you know, maybe $10 million doesn't seem like a lot, but it adds up once you start doing that for every single player on your roster, right?
Yeah. I think Sabonis is only $22 million for another year, but yeah, I think that's stolen from Zach Lowe. But
but that's probably gonna go up. Right, like
it's going to go up soon. Yeah, it's going to go up like after
multiple All Star.
They may extend him up this year after that, but you're right. It's the same. By the time Lauri gets the marquee, you're right. He'll be making 30.
Like Tobias Harris makes 40. Yeah, Tobias Harris makes $40 million. And that's just the price you pay in the NBA. Like Tobias Harris, if he made $20 million, like everybody would want him on his team, but he makes $40 million. So like the talent doesn't change, just the price of the player does. So, And before we move on, take a second, you know, give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast there, or Google Podcast, whatever you get podcasts. A 5-star review would be nice.
7-star review. 7-star FTR.
Seven star FTR.
Do you guys think this is Collins is something they hold on to? Do you think the Collins that gets it put on there is just another trade piece for 7 months down there? Or do you think the Collins they envision Collins as a long term piece, a rehab project? A la Markkanen, or do you think that he's just another? They had money, they're hoping to flip him for another asset.
I think that's the nice part about this Collins trade is that you kind of have both avenues. Like, okay, cool. Like these are the type of guys that you want to bring in, like Lauri Markkanen. You know, like as you said earlier, John Collins. He has shown flashes that he can be good. Can you get back?
His shorts are always incredibly. His shorts and tank top are always incredibly. Small and tight fitting as well too. So
he's got that John Stockton vibe.
So he's sexy. So on one hand, like bring him in. Like, oh boy, can he play? Can he play as well as Lauri Markkanen? Can he unlock other things? Can your team go? Like, he has looked good. Like he is a lottery pick.
Yeah. Well, Hardy's gonna reach into that untapped talent potential and transform him.
Apparently, that's what Will Hardy does. So, So there's that aspect of it. On the other hand, a $27 million contract is actually not that bad, and those are great for trade pieces. Like if player X, you know, whether it be Luka, Jalen, Embiid, whoever comes up, and they're like, okay, we need to, like, they're tired of their situation. You know, it happened with Donovan. Like, the Cavs had a $17 million in Lauri Markkanen that fit right in half of Donovan's salary was ate up because of that contract. This contract expires in 2 years. If he ends up just being a dud, you know, this is where the expiring contract comes into play. Because, like, you have to give, you know, dollar for dollar back in most trades during the NBA season. If whoever in 2 years wants to get out of their situation, the Jazz can say, hey, here's John Collins, plus, you know, here's another, you know, $12 million, and here's, you know, a bunch of our draft picks that we have for whatever player you have. That's how that's sort of the vision that we see that Danny Ainge has right now, right? It's a go trade for another star because they're not going to be able to draft one unless they get really lucky, which they might. I'm not saying that they won't, but right now, like, to get somebody else to be the alpha in Utah, the number one in Utah, it looks like it's going to have to be through the trade market. But now that, you know, John Collins is a piece, whether he plays well, plays poorly, really, if he just plays super poorly, again, it's a $27 million contract that you have to help fill salary. So that's important to have when you have other assets to attach to it. So, I don't know. Logan, what do you think?
I mean, I don't like tanking, so I'm hoping he's a Lauri Markkanen piece for the future, right? But I guess, like you said, the fascinating part is to see where they go with it. But maybe it's dictated by some early results and how other things play out. But I guess the one thing that's hard to argue against is at least they're doing something. They're just not sitting on their hands, you know. So. They're trying, they're moving, and they're shaking.
Yep.
which is part of what I think you said makes it exciting, because no one really knows what they're going to do. I mean, the Collins trade was rumored pretty heavily a couple of years ago with the Jazz, but it also came up again last year. It was floated out of the Jazz talk to them, right?
Yeah.
We're done. We drafted Hendricks, and we're doing something different, and also out of nowhere, here it is again.
Yeah, and it happened. Like, I mean, I remember, you know, like, for some reason, this podcast episode sticks out in my mind, the Danny Ainge podcast. Like, hey guys, Danny Ainge came, what do we think? And, you know, part of the reason that we were a little wary was that it was like Danny Ainge, you know, never traded, you know, you never trade assets, Danny, like the guy that never, and
almost Ainge.
But the thing is, almost Ainge still hasn't made, you know, like, he hasn't really given up a lot to get somebody yet. So, like, that point still is to be tested, because like he gave up Rudy Gay, a second round pick, and, you know, $27 million in cap space. Some people think that cap space is super important. Like, it's going to hurt the Jazz in the free agent market.
We all know better than that.
Right. Like,
according to Dan
Clayton.
Well, Clayton, yeah, one of the Claytons. The Jazz can still get to $28 million in space if Clarkson opts out and stuff. Yep. I'm like, wow. I didn't think that was possible with us taking on this much.
The caveat I say with that is that $28 million is not a max contract. So
true.
Yeah. So they would have to shed another $7-ish million to get to that max
contract.
Probably
would have been enough to get yourself a Kyle Kuzma, though.
Maybe. It would have been. I wonder.
Kuzma says he wants $30 million. Everyone laughs at him. You could probably get him around 28, right?
Right.
I'm just saying it's in that range.
It's in that range. You're right. Yeah,
it feels good. But
as 80 and Corey tweeted out, and this is real. this is the one I did tweet at him. He tweeted out, "You unlocked this memory." He tweeted out something like, "Will Kyle Kuzma take the college discount and go back to Utah?" I was like, "No, college discount does not exist unless you're Gordon Hayward."
I don't know that Kyle Kuzma necessarily had a great college experience in Utah. I'm not saying it was terrible, but I don't think he liked it. If memory serves, it wasn't like...
He played for Larry K.
which was very bad at the end, obviously. Mm-hmm. He had some bright spots early on, but I don't I just remember watching it closely because he was playing with the one kid from Roy Bricott Chapman, right? Yep. So he sat behind Bricott for a year, so I'm not necessarily sure that Kadeem had like a great.
Right. It's not, I mean, like
the team wasn't good, right?
It's not like Damian. It's not like with Damian, right? Damian comes back, year after year, hosts alumni game, talks about Ogden favorably, and even then, I don't think Dame would give Utah a discount, right? Like he shouldn't. Like these guys are professional athletes that want to make the most.
I don't think that NBA players give discounts. Right?
No, they don't.
Think people. Right. Has anyone ever given a discount? I think it came up in baseball in the 90s, and maybe it happened.
It's probably a very rare. Like, I think somebody has like a very rare.
Probably, yeah. Brady gave the Patriots.
Well, yeah, but Brady also was married to.
Kraft was slipping him some secret mac and cheese stock at the table or something.
Right, and Brady, like LeBron, took a discount from Miami, right? But like, they're small discounts, like, and guys that didn't need discounts because they were going to make money elsewhere.
The most recent one, oddly enough, was James Harden last year.
That's true. Yeah. You're right.
There's some suspicion around that, and the previous owner, right?
Yeah. They have
been a handshake agreement. The guy who owns Fanatics or whatever, doesn't own, I don't think he owns the Sixers anymore, but there was some, they rumored some anyways.
Yeah, so
people found it very suspicious because nobody does take the discount.
Yeah, I think because, you bring up a good point, Logan, like discounts, like why, like we as fans make up these is Darth Vader on the phone? Holy shit!
Jared,
Jared's looking for Samoa.
I just dropped the phone in front of my nostrils. That's all I did.
Like, my God.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway,
he saw an ass picture. Who was talking about going through the phone?
What were we talking about? Holy shit! Oh, we're talking about discounts. Like, Logan just said discounts. So I was like, we as fans, we like, they'll give it because we like me, discount. Right? If Ryan Smith called me up, like, hey, would you play for the Jazz for $1 million? Like, I was like, fuck yeah, like, because I'm not talented enough to do that. but these guys, like, you know, professional athletes, these are their jobs. Like, their agents, everybody's like trying to vie for as many dollars as they can get. So, and maybe, I don't know, maybe Kyle Kuzma's, my thought is that Washington's going to give that $30 million to Kyle Kuzma, but who knows? I have no sources on that.
If Washington does it, it'll be a good decision, and I'll defend it until the end of the year.
Washington is so confusing right now.
Listening back to that podcast last week, I defended Washington at every turn. Made zero sense. The point stands that people were being dipshits and they weren't thinking about it fully, but
yeah.
I don't know why I went to bat so heavily for...
Guys, the Wizards are good! Stop picking on the Wizards! The Wizards did the right thing.
I didn't say they were good. Ignoring some very obvious facts.
No, but you did bring up one of your points that you brought up was they were scared. Like, there was a very good chance that Porzingis was going to walk for nothing.
Coming to Utah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the very next day, it comes out that, like, Utah was going
to
make a...
just trying to scare him into trading him to Boston.
Well,
now Boston.
The report came out that Utah was going to be a big player in the Porzingis free agency. Back to Logan's point, he's like, hey, if you're going to lose him for not, at least they got something, you know? Like, is it great? Yeah. No. But it's better than nothing, you know.
Well, they got more than they got for Bradley Beal, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's
because of that dang no trade clause.
Yeah. So Logan's Washington Wizards.
They got the pool. They got the pool party now.
Pool party.
I saw someone tweet a picture that Mia Khalifa is a big Wizards fan, so that might work out well for him.
Yeah. Is that where Zion's gonna go next?
Probably not.
We don't have the time for the Zion talk.
I haven't had a chance to really.
Yeah, I don't know how many other girls can get tattoos with his name on their face.
I think she posted a positive pregnancy test on her IG story. So who knows?
Oh, that's, goodness,
I'm sort of invested to see how this goes. So
why don't they just turn it into a reality so she can actually make money off it?
Yeah. So I mean. But yeah, so that Porzingis, that was interesting. Like, I mean, Logan, you're the Washington Wizards fan here. Like, how do you think? Would you rather have Porzingis in Utah or like Collins? Like, I mean, how do you think that fit would have worked?
Collins,
John Collins, Collins on Collins, yeah. Baby. Collins Sexton to John Collins.
I thought you were talking about Tom Collins to Utah.
talking. What was your question? Were you saying John Collins or Porzingis?
Would Porzingis have interested you if the Jazz had signed him to, like, say, a free agent deal?
Yeah, I would have been excited about that too. I think I think that I prefer the Collins route though. I mean, I think that it's less money, less guaranteed time. Porzingis' next contract would have been kind of interesting to see, right? What was he going to get? He opted in to $36 million. A lot of people think he wasn't going to get that again, but people thought he would try to go for, like, I don't know, maybe $100 million over 4 years or something. So
I would assume 3 years and let's say 95. So something like $32 million a year, but for like 3 or 4 more years. You know, like 4 for 120 sounds like fair. Like it's what Middleton's doing, right? Middleton's giving up $40 million this year, but hoping the Bucks will sign him to a 3 or 90 deal or something like that. So.
I just don't think I would have felt that good about it. I don't know that. Like, again, like you said, you have to pay these guys. That's what their peers make. But I don't know that I feel that way about Porzingis.
Right.
I don't know.
Man. I mean,
for nine million less dollars, if that's what we're saying, or five. I guess somewhere between 5 and 9 million less. I'd rather have John Collins, I think.
So, Jared, you talked about this earlier. The Jazz have no guard play. I mean, I was going to ask you about Porzingis, but I know that you have not really been a Porzingis fan for a while. So, but, I mean, the Jazz right now. So
we've got THT, right?
THT has opted in.
Collins, Sexton.
We think that Kelly Olynyk, it has been announced yet, but they also didn't announce that he was waived. So today was the day he had to be waived. So we're assuming that Kelly Olynyk's on the Jazz. So let's talk about the front court here.
Does his money go up this year, though? Or is it this year that where his money, like, drops to some stupid number?
Olynyk was guaranteed for $3 million. Was guaranteed for $3 million. Or sorry, like right. I mean, if you cut him, you know, they would have paid him $3 million. But if you kept him, it cost $12 million, and we just all assumed that they would just keep him. You know. And $12 million is not a bad number. $12 million is another contract that can be slid in somewhere very easily to kind of help make the numbers work somewhere.
THC opting in was kind of interesting, I guess.
That
I
is interesting,
one
right?
way or another. But there's only $11 million, right? It wasn't like a massive number he opted into.
But he's also a second round pick that's been in the league for 4 years. $11 million. So like the mid level exception is probably around $10-ish million. So I guess the question like him and his agent had to ask was like, can you go find a team that will give you the, because it's not just cap, like the mid-level exception teams, there's more teams that have mid-level exceptions than they have cap space. So there would have been, you know, 10 to 15 teams that had a mid-level exception of $10 million.
You probably wouldn't feel good about your big acquisition being THC, so maybe he gets 3 years and $15 million somewhere, 3 years and $18 million, but
yeah,
I guess 11 for one is still better for him.
Yeah, right. Because I can mean.
But I don't know if you guys knew this or not. But he's only 22.
he looks old as shit. But
I'm seeing that everywhere. He's only 22.
But Jared, so back to your.
These guys got a feel for it because they don't. They clearly just. They're as everyone knows, their agents know what's going on. I was reading the opt-in. There was no
right. I mean, the agents
for him. But I didn't know what to do with him when he came over because it was. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably if you're really being honest with yourself. And you're not just solely invested in the anti-THC or the pro-THC camp. If you just take a real honest, objective look at it, none of us should really know how to feel about it.
Well, THT, you guys know I love my gambling.
I agree with that.
Gambling metaphors, right? Like, if you were on the casino floor and you found $20, you know, you found $20. Cool. You can put it in a slot machine. Maybe you win $2,000.
Because you started 20 games?
This is actually a real example of my brother, but you know, you can put it into a machine and win, you know, $2,500. Great. Awesome. But if you lost it, yeah, who cares? Whatever. Like whatever. It was $20. That wasn't even yours, you know? So, that's why I feel like he's found money. Like, all right, cool. Like he had a pretty good year. He might not be anything. He might not be very good. He might be salary filler to get Damian Lillard to Utah. I don't know.
For a second, I thought you were going to say he might be him. He's him.
Him has taken the place of GOAT.
It's everywhere.
When does Jordan Clarkson have to opt? It feels like everyone else in the world had their own deadline weeks ago, but like, when does Jordan Clarkson have to make a decision?
I watched Ken's video on. So, Ken Clayton, Salt City Hoops, did a video, and I missed that part of the video. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
You didn't watch it very well. Dang.
I mean, I was also working, so I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, so I'm Clarkson. So right now, Clarkson's at $14 million, which is kind of a funny number, because I remember thinking that's a slight. I still kind of think I'm of two minds, because it was one of the things, like, the Jazz gave him, you know, about $15 million a year, which not everybody, but a lot of people thought it was a bit of overpay, because at the time, Jordan Clarkson, like, the market at the time was like, most people could only pay him $10 to $12 million. So, Logan, I mean, you sort of deal with, like, salaries and stuff. Do you feel like you should pay somebody what they're worth, or what the market says there is? Like, they could have let Jordan Clarkson go to the market and, you know, maybe save themselves $4 or $5 million a year on the contract, but, you know, also in good faith said, hey, you know what, Jordan, you know, we think you're worth $15 million a year. You're probably not going to find that in the free agent market. So, you know, you're getting a little bit of a raise. As me as an employee, if my boss did that, I think that's really neat. But in the NBA construct of salary caps and stuff, how did you feel about that move?
It feels complicated now because it feels like he's outplayed that, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. At the time, it felt a little bit weird, and it felt like it was overpaid. But as far as giving him goodwill, I don't think that matters in the NBA. I don't think it matters anywhere. Based upon the way I'm watching my employees leave at mass exodus, I don't believe loyalty exists in the workplace at all. I think it's just, and I'm not here to dictate whether that's good or bad. I don't think that those things exist in any form of life, really. There's some people who do, but I think you got Jordan Clarkson back at $15 million now. It's like a fucking bargain, right?
Right. It does feel like that. So Jared, go ahead.
No, that was it. I mean, it feels like he's going to make a lot more than that now.
Like, give me a number. What do you think the number is? 20 million?
20, yeah.
20? Okay, so Jared. So now, I mean, again, so Jordan Clarkson could go
to... Ryan Smith will give him 25.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, what if Ryan... How would you feel about if Jordan Clarkson came back on a 3-year, $75 million deal? I mean, you're the big JC fan here.
So. Barf.
I mean, it means I'm not making any nice signings in the next few years.
I mean,
the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, 3-year, $25 million. That lowers, like, so, you know, that cap number goes up. So your cap number drops a little bit. You still have
nobody I'm betting against, though. Competing against paying that much because
this is the same argument we had 3 years ago. Jordan Clarkson probably wasn't going to make $15 million in free agency, but the Jazz gave it to him anyway. So, like, there's a chance the Jazz just give him the money.
I feel much better about 3 years, $20 million a year, so like $60 million, 3 for $60.
Well, of course you would.
75, I don't know.
Of course you would. No, like, I'm not asking you the easy question. I'm asking you the hard question.
I know, I'm torn, though. I'm torn.
I
just let him go. I'll let him go if it's 3 for $25.
This is the vibe. This is the goodwill.
You're killing me.
I'm
just kidding.
In business, like, I mean, that could happen. Like in all indications that I've received, again, you know, I don't have any sources, but I feel like the Jazz.
Why are you crapping on your sources like that?
I feel like the Jazz are going to re-sign Jordan Clarkson. I don't know what the number is. I'm just building a hypothetical going, because if he came back at $20 million, I think most Jazz fans would feel pretty good at like 20 or under, but most Jazz fans would not feel good about 25. You know, around that $25 million area. And I don't know if the market's going to say, you know, hey, Jordan, but I do foresee a future. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I do foresee a future where the Jazz just say, hey, we appreciate you, and here's this money, you know. And
I thought Ryan Smith just gave him a Qualtrics.
And
here's your own branch of Qualtrics. You can be the guy who actually does the Jazz survey so that we don't stop, so that we can actually get good information.
And let's go back to 2020 when you guys didn't think, you know, I was kind of against the Jordan Clarkson contract and you guys were for it. I'm actually, like, if you give Jordan Clarkson 25, it's not the worst thing in the world, because again, these are all malleable, you know, Colin Sexton, John Collins, whatever Jordan Clarkson's contract, these are all also contracts that can be moved into other people's space for another star.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Right? So, like, again, like, we do this thing on Jazz Twitter. Like, we see something and we just go, oh, my God, how awful this is. And the Jazz, as I'm sort of learning right now, it's sort of like what Marvel did. You know, we can geek out here for a minute. Marvel had a 4 or 5 year game plan of what movies they're going to put out and why. You know, I think Danny Ainge has set up like, okay, cool, we're going to have this draft. If we don't hit, you know, the Victor sweepstakes in the draft, it's okay because step two is to use cap space to be these trades in.
Jazz phase two.
Yeah. Step three, step four, like, it's bringing everybody, like, maybe it's not to win in 2023, but maybe in 2025, now all of a sudden, hey, not only do we have the draft assets, we also have salary assets that we can, you know, trade. Like, in my Dynasty League, this happened to me. Like, I traded for Anthony Davis because it only cost me draft picks, but it also cost me, like, 6 players because I couldn't get – I didn't have enough players in that, you know, $20 million range to match Anthony Davis' salary, right?
Oh.
So so to me, it's like, you know, like, hey, the Jazz want to win in 2023, but it's like we are, as Roman Reigns would say, we're in the third inning of a 9-inning game, right? Like, Roman Reigns beating Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania was not the end of a story. It's just, you know, the middle of his story, right? So, you know, again, for the WWE Utah Jazz niche fans who listen to this podcast, that's for you. But, so, yes, I guess my long thought on this is that, like, hey, guys, we're, you know, it looks like we're making a lot of big moves right now. But, man, there's probably two more years of moves that we're setting up for to get somebody, you know. To fast-track it, you have to draft really well to draft a super megastar. But if you don't do it, you know, make good draft picks that are solid enough that you can trade away. Like, Ochai, like, people who are just like, oh, my God, Ochai is untouchable. Still, it fucking boggles my mind. But, like, Ochai Agbaji is still a very good young asset that you can say, all right, cool. You know, you need young assets to get, you know, he was literally one of the young assets the Jazz got for Donovan Mitchell. Walker Kessler is a young asset the Jazz got for Rudy Gobert. Like, whoever's trading you whatever X star is not going to do it just for draft picks. They're going to want to see draft picks with names and some known commodities with that. So,
right.
Anyway, rant over. Whew, that was a long one.
I didn't realize I was on mute. I kept yelling things out while you're talking, and then I'm like, God, he's doing a good job of ignoring me. And then I realized that I was on mute.
Well, I appreciate you.
But to recap, main event Jey Uso has something to say about your Roman Reigns comment. And the people who want to hold on to Ochai are fucking idiots. That's pretty much what I was going to say.
Yeah, people love.
I should holding on to him is not stupid, but like thinking he's untouchable.
Yeah, like it's
fucking,
just
it's fucking dumb.
Anyway,
I saw Ochai and untouchable in the same sentence.
So yeah,
going on.
I think that was 801. Was that 801 Corey again? So in honor of 801 Corey, I don't know if we should be doing
rest in peace 801 Corey.
I don't know if we should be doing the Marnay's produce corners anymore, produce sections anymore, because like I don't know who we're shouting out anymore. how do you verify?
Are they even real?
Right, like if I would only shout out people that I knew like on Twitter and in real life, it'd be shout out to Go to This 49 and Dragon Squatch, because I don't know that many people in real life anymore on Twitter, so. I don't know, Logan. This is sort of your segment. We can start doing the Nugget Pouch or the Wizards of Waverly Place segment if you like instead.
I do love Wizards of Waverly Place. I do have an actual shout out though, and it's not a cheesy one, but it is a little cheap. It's a real one. But I do want to shout out Braden. He's on Twitter. He's at SGT, which is probably for Sergeant_B_Dub. He is on Jazz Twitter, especially Real Salt Lake Twitter, but just solid dude. If you can get a chance, go check out his pinned tweet. He's trying to raise money for his I believe it's the family of his Afghan translator when he was over deployed, and so it's not. I went to check it now, which is getting a little more run and traffic, which I'm happy to see. Because at first, it was kind of disappointing to see lack of traffic, but all indications, Braden seems like a really solid guy and trying to do some good work. But like you said, this translator, he owes his life to this guy. So, I do want to shout that out. But that's all I've got because the rest has been utter fucking chaos.
It has been. It has been chaos there on Twitter. So, Jared, any parting words from you today?
I'm still thinking a lot about you guys may or may not know this, but my dad passed away last Friday. And, you know, it's made me examine a lot of different things in my life. Made me think a lot about, you know, the other people on Jazz Twitter that have lost people recently. I know a lot of people are missing John English. New Orleans Jazz, a.k.a. Cody, you know, recently lost his wife. I've been thinking a lot about those folks.
Can I ask you a question? And,
yeah.
What was your dad like?
Well, my dad was kind of in his later years, especially, he was just like a really patient person. Like, he wouldn't get upset easily, and like, if people got mad at him and, you know, said things to him, he would just kind of take it. And, you know, sometimes that annoyed the crap out of me because it seemed like he would just allow people to, like, walk all over him. But, you know, I learned a valuable lesson about patience from him, especially, you know, his later years. I mean, my dad, what can I say about my dad? He loved Home Depot and 7-Eleven.
That's a good dad. Right,
cut it off. 7-Eleven was a nice company.
I do want to say that. I don't think I've ever met your dad, Jared, but children are always a good, you can see your children and parents and everything. And one of your biggest strengths is that you're a very loyal person. Your loyalty is really unmatched. And I don't speak for Logan. I think you're one of my most loyal friends. And, I assume that you got that from your parents. And so your dad sounds like a very nice person, very great person. Sorry that he's gone. And it's hard. These are hard times when you lose a loved one. But I do want to say that I think he raised a wonderful young man that, your loyalty is the one thing that really stuck out to me when we started doing this podcast. So, shout out to your pops there. Logan, if you have anything you say, go for it.
Yeah, you raised a wonderful young man and turned into a wonderful middle-aged man. So
that was immediately when I started thinking about when you said young man. I was like, hey, who? How old are we?
I echo everything that he says. It's not an easy thing to deal with, and it sounds like it was unexpected too, which doesn't make things easier. Really, it does allow you to do a little inventory in your life because, you know, while in my mind mentally I'm of a certain age, you know, my mind doesn't think, I don't feel like that. I'm at that age. And then you look around, you're like, oh my God, you're right. My dad's 60. My mom is this. My dad is that. And you're like, you're right. You just can't be, you can't take that time for granted, because once you start crossing some of those number thresholds, you know, it comes a little more dicey, right? I mean, anything can happen any day, which some of these situations have shown to us, but it is a good, like you said, a good chance to reflect on what really is important to us.
Yeah, and
not this fucking podcast. I appreciate
you guys. yeah, exactly, this podcast.
I don't know. I appreciate you guys, honestly, because the one thing about this podcast is, like, you guys are, like, two really solid dudes in my life, and I appreciate you both for that.
Yeah, this podcast, we're really here just to, like, for our own benefit. Like, we put it on air. But, you know, it's just for the three of us to kind of just bullshit around sometimes. But I'm glad that you were able to, say some nice words about your dad, and I'm very sorry. And so, yeah, please, take note of your, oh God, I didn't mean to say that.
James Hansen might take note of his loved ones.
Yeah,
we won't.
You're right. So take note of your loved ones, because it is what it is. And, we all have the one life to live. So, thanks guys. I had a great time. We're excited about the Jazz. That's crazy to think about.
I've got an erection.
That's how long. And you know what? We'll see you guys next time.